cracking one? All right. Yes, there is. Welcome to Hive Scum, the Grim and Gritty podcast for the 28 community. You may be wondering, where the fuck is Terry?
Because we are.
Yeah. Where are you, Terry? Terry's in the birthing pod right now, so we're holding it down without him. This is Phil. You can find me in a pink Cadillac driving down the highway.
Ooh.
Who are you?
I'm Steve at South of Heaven.
I'm Gage at No Clear Coat.
And filling in for Terry, we have our good friend and unofficial fifth mic of the podcast.
I'm Paul, and you can find me on Instagram at Weirdstoned.
Let's go.
Here we are.
Who are you?
You could find me on a Cadillac.
I said who I was at first. You find me a blood transfusion.
If you want.
If you want. I'm not posting anything. I actually deleted Instagram.
Did you?
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. My goodness.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Instagram sucks.
It does suck.
I don't want to have any excuse to be looking at my phone. It's not just Instagram. I'll find other shit to... I don't want any reason to be staring at screens any more than I need to be. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Time robbers.
I think I'm going to start bringing books to work with me. Get so that when I'm killing time.
Trade paperbacks?
I could do that, yeah. I have a lot of trade paperbacks.
Just carrying around
that
like
that
an
I've
encyclopedia
never
with you?
Yeah.
I have that same feeling of like, I have all these paperbacks I want to read, but I haven't read them yet.
Yeah.
But then I got the Kindle, and now I'm just reading other books that I didn't own that I wanted to read. It's been pretty sick.
Yeah.
You should get a Kindle.
I think the Kindle's the wave, because I think about that too with work, but I would be bringing just like super old D&D books, and I know I would just be bullied on every job site.
That's why you bring the Kindle. No one can see.
Yeah,
honestly, yeah, this is my work tablet.
They won't ask out of curiosity?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I'd be fine. If I had a blatant book that was like The Pools of Radiance, and I'm just like sitting at this computer flipping through it, then they might, but...
Damn. Well, so... We are here in the studio, and the countdown is on.
The hour is nigh.
The hour is nigh. Nemo is we can see it in the
it's tomorrow.
A few exits ahead.
Right.
Yeah, when you hear this,
oh my goodness, you're right.
This is the day before. This is your commute. Your commute. If you're coming, this is your commute. Listen.
Yeah.
right.
So we have to be in that headspace that they are hearing it right before they see us.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
No.
Right. What do you have to say to the people?
So hopefully when you see me, I will have shaved.
Yep.
I will have taken a shower.
Maybe.
I'm hydrated. I'm sober. I've had breakfast.
Yeah, he definitely had breakfast.
Not injured unpacking everything.
I haven't hurt myself.
I'm getting a little haircut for everyone,
I was gonna get a haircut too.
Yeah. What do you mean a little haircut?
Like an inch, nothing. Oh, okay. I'm not doing no
roll
rat boy
off the
Rory.
Top.
Yeah, I'm not shaving my head for this thing, but
I'm gonna get a weave for it.
Oh shit! Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Paul's gonna shave his head and get his head tattooed.
Yeah. Oh shit!
I've been contemplating that one for a while.
Hey, some real outlaw shit.
There you go.
Wow, steering the ship is harder than I thought it would be. So.
What have you been up to lately?
What have I been up to lately?
There we go.
Not too much.
That's literally
such a
not
fucking
true. You're here every
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just trying to keep it casual.
You're leaving me in the fucking dust right now.
So yeah, I'm. I don't want to say I'm scrambling to get my board done, but I'm feeling the pressure. So I've really been putting the hours in. My board for Nemo is mostly built. I am currently in sort of the end stages. I've been putting a lot of aquarium plants down.
That's
mostly
what
I've been doing.
Sailing spot.
Yeah, I've been gluing aquarium plants down and then kind of getting it ready to be primed and painted. It came together a lot better than I thought it would. I was feeling very, very negatively about it for the last like week and a half.
But then you made it all
dude, yesterday,
black paint.
Yeah, yesterday I was like, fuck. I'm locked in.
We got to get that chart to hang on the wall where it's like the four
the
stages. Well, no. Yeah, we need to do that. Fucking don't worry about that. But it's like the four or five stages of like creation or something. And the first one is like, this is sick. And the next one is like, this is all right. And the third one's like, this is trash. I hate it. And right after that again, it's like, this is sick. And then we can always know where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, after this, I don't know that I will. I definitely don't have a desire to build a board again.
Maybe we'll compromise. Maybe we'll collab.
Yeah, I'll collab on a board. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because especially going, I had none of the skills going in, and I'm just like, well, anytime I gotta work on this, I gotta make sure that there's other people here that could be like, hey, am I doing this right?
It's really funny because some of your stuff that you did, I questioned it after I saw it because you just did it by yourself. I'm like, why'd you do that?
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, the fucking joint.
I don't know what I'm doing.
The joint compound. So
versus 40 inches of joint compound.
Literally, yes. Joint. I threw down joint compound to sort of like make, smoother walkways. And some of it is inches thick and it took days and days to dry. But, you know, lesson learned. I now have that knowledge. I have the skill. If I choose to make a board again in the future, I presumably will have retained that knowledge.
You have developed some skills.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Just the texture paint, like making your own texture paint. Yeah, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You developed the skill of looking for coupons before you go purchasing things at Michael's.
That's a big one.
They're lying. I didn't develop that skill, and I never will.
Full price for Mod Podge.
Anytime I visit my parents, my mother shows me all the coupons. It's just like, have this coupon. Look at all these coupons. And
is she a couponer?
Oh, yeah. They immediately go in the garbage.
Oh, terrible. She could have used those.
Well, all this stuff is that. I don't even want this,
laundry detergent.
Get out of me. Get away from me with your consumerism.
Yeah.
Yeah, the board is really coming out sick. I was so impressed when I saw the layout. Right. And then, like, knowing what your expectations are, like, well, assuming what your expectations are, that I think it's really going to deliver.
I hope so. Yeah. Hopefully it's fun to play on, too.
Yeah. Layout wise, I know it's going to be a blast.
It's minimalist.
It's super, like, you can all see it at board number 39 at Nemo. it's going to
write that down.
It absolutely is going to bring out the best parts of the game, you know what I mean? It's encouraging those and steering players towards the more exciting parts of the rule set, I think.
Okay, good.
I just realized why you said it can't be 39.
Wait.
Because there's only 100 people playing.
Oh, no, that's not why.
Oh, okay.
But I also made a mistake.
So does that mean it has to be 50?
Yeah, right?
So there's going to be at least 50 boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be 50 boards.
Board 39 or 50, yeah. Well, no, now it's locked in. It has to be board 39.
There might be more than 100 people because I have so many people being like, I'm coming with a warband.
Yeah, there's a couple people. I'm like, I'm sure we could squeeze you in. I'm like, that was like 10 people. Well,
that's why hopefully there's open play space for them.
Yeah, it won't be until after.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just let them play.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I didn't print enough Nemo packets, so we'll have to get some more.
Yeah, that'll,
105 is all I printed.
Right. Well, I mean, if they didn't buy the pass, then they could use it on their phone or something like that.
That's it as far as what I've been working on. Just about 5 minutes ago, me and Steve kind of hammered out the last of the a few key points about the AOS campaign that we were talking about, that we were fighting about in the last episode. we came to some good compromises, and I think we figured out some really good stuff for how the map is going to work.
The New England War Council Age of Sigmar campaign.
Yeah,
it's got to have
a
cooler title than that, though.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It has to be the New Age, because that's what I paid for on that commissioned painting.
Okay. The NU Age.
Yeah, there you go.
So what about you, Steve? What are you working on?
I've been working on...
I mean, I can see it behind your shoulder.
I've been working on my boards, both boards, both new and old.
Yeah.
Because I'm a... You know, Terry's going to hear this and he is going to cry. But I took my old board from last year, the award winning board from last year.
The board that won the award for best board last year.
People's Choice.
Even funnier still, just remembering you calling the number out, like, whose board is that? Come on, whose board is that? And everyone's like, it's yours. And you're like, oh.
Are you guys sure? And it can't be a little on me.
I was for sure that Bobby was going to win that.
I thought rigged.
Yeah.
I mean, I voted for Bobby.
Exactly. But I took my old board that was fully finished, and I took two cans of spray paint, and I primed right over it, along with the new one. So
the concern was that the paint jobs wouldn't be matching?
Yeah.
Or did you just think I could just do so much better? Or what?
I definitely thought I could do better, and now that I'm doing it, I'm like, I wish I didn't do this, but... yeah, it was to make it all cohesive, just like runs all the way through. There's no difference.
I understand
in colors.
The thought process. I am of the same mind. And I know it's the wrong instinct, but I the same thing. Like it's the same where people always say, like, keep the, you know, the first model you painted or old models to see how much you've progressed? Like, no, I don't want to look at this piece of shit model. I want a model that looks good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
I don't care where I came from. I care where I'm at now.
Yeah, especially when in people, like, the whole intent was a board that lines up with the other board and yeah, can be put together. So, like, I didn't want you to see, because the line that's between them, there's a tiny gap that I'm going to have to try and, like, just, like, put terrain kind of next to it to
I mean, is it enough
my
of, like,
immersion?
Well, it doesn't...
I see it. Like, no one else is looking at that tiny gap, but that gap, I'm looking at it.
It's not enough of a gap that it would even affect gameplay.
No, not at all.
And do you want the games to span across both boards?
I would like to play some games across both. We played the Lord of the Rings game.
But for Nemo itself, where you have to have two separate games happening.
Oh no, yeah, I'm just gonna put them like on the table, jutted against each other, and just say, yeah, that line don't cross
Yeah. Yeah, the players will figure it out. You know what I mean? If one bleeds to one side or the other, just don't interact or something like that.
That's even cooler.
Yeah. Have them interact.
Oh, shit.
You know?
Yeah, right.
These are two separate games, but if you guys, if you cross paths, you cross paths.
You know what happens.
I'm going to make a little cheat sheet for the board that you have to play on those.
Doesn't matter what round you're in, you know? If you fucking, this guy yells out to your guy, give this guy a fucking headshot.
Take an armor save.
Yeah. Kill that guy. I'll give you some gold after the match, you know?
Right.
Whatever
Bibsy
happens.
Squig just running off the ball to the next game.
Animosity going against something else, like two orc players attacking the other orc player.
So when you add your third and fourth boards later on, are you going to have to, like, repaint everything again? Or did you, like, remember, you know, okay, I need Rust-Oleum 2X flat black and I need
the color, like, the gray is just black and white mixed to a specific consistency. But I think that's easy enough to replicate to where the washes and the dry brush, like, I'm going to pick a very specific color for the dry brush. And then, like, the dry brush for the woods.
So you can grab those same materials later.
Exactly.
We might have talked about this in the past. Because it's definitely what I do, but when you're doing a project, do you write down the exact, like, the paints you use, the order you put them down, that
I make, like, a mental note, because if it's a project that I'm doing enough stuff on it, like my ogres, I know what the colors are that I'm doing that with.
I like to have that written down just in case. Well, in case. I tend to take very long breaks from the hobby or just move from one thing to another. So to be able to jump back into what I'm doing and not have to be like, fuck, what shade of gray did I use? What, you know, what wash goes here? Like, what, you know, what are the steps that I need to take on this model?
I've done that before. Like when I painted my Legions of Nagash army for Age of Sigmar when it was, you know, Age of Sigmar 2. I did that for, I had a little notebook that I painted a little swatch and wrote, like, this was what I did for bone. This is what I did for the spectral weapons. And then, like, it looked very nice, you know, like the page laid out with all the little swatches on it and like the steps. And then I lost it and I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, I do that really cool thing where I'm like, oh, I'll put it in my notes app in my phone to remember for this project. And then the next one I'll go, oh, I'll put it on my notepad document on my desktop.
Yep.
And then the next one's like, oh, I'll write it down in this notebook that I'll immediately place somewhere and forget
and
about.
Forever.
So every time I go back to it, I'm like, I don't know where the fuck any of these are.
You almost, like, I have to do a thing where the army stays in this box, and I, like, tape the notes to the box. Yeah. This army lives in this box.
What I started doing was I take the finished model, and I line up all the bottles of paint next to it, and I snap a picture on my phone.
That's the smartest one.
And then I get a new phone, and I don't have the photo anymore. No,
dude. Google Photos got your back.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking photos, though, Paul, what have you been working on?
Quite a bit, actually, recently. So the big thing I did for this Nemo was putting together and, like, dressing up a lot of MDF buildings that we got from Pendraken over in the UK.
One of the big sponsors.
Thank you, Pendraken.
Yeah. Well, we did pay for them.
Yeah, they gave us a nice discount, though, and their shipping discount
Second time sponsor.
2 years.
Yeah, they came back despite, like, some financial hardships that the place was going through. They seem to have rebounded, and they gave us a good deal, and a ton of kits. We got like 60 new buildings coming in. So I dressed a lot of those up with some popsicle sticks and then texture paste, and we got them all primed. And so today, and I should probably finish it today, get most of them painted up with the airbrush and just ready to hit the tables. So that's going to be cool.
How do you feel about those buildings? Because I was hesitant to reorder them, but then we got those factory ones to go with them, and I think
that was the coolest. Like, on a whim, Steve and I, right before we ordered them, we were looking a little bit deeper on their site, just like kicking around over here, and we found that they have a World War II factory, burned out factory, and we said, you know what, we can put popsicle sticks in this and make it look, and it looks amazing. Like,
I don't even think I've seen those.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. They're so good. Yeah.
It's not just the, you know, the little Renaissance building that we have last year. Mm-hmm. Like,
listen, I hate MDF terrain. I'll say it. Their kits are good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Simple enough to build.
And that's actually interesting because I'm wondering, like, are all kits like this or not? Because I was so impressed with this. Yeah. And I'm like, everything fit with the exception of one of the tiles that I had to like modify every time, but they all went together super easily. And then just
that could
a little
have been
bit
user
of dress
error
up
too. Just you know.
No, just saying. Now you're right. It could have been. But our boy Painter helped us out again too. He put together a box or two for me. And I'm really impressed. And I do like MDF terrain now. So it's got me thinking. Yeah, I can't wait to get to Adepticon and see what all the other vendors have to offer.
Fucking trash, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's the joining like corners. They always look like shit because they're not hidden or they're super visible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to gap fill everything on the model,
which we did. We did that with popsicle sticks and hot glue, and
that's
it
what I'm
fills
saying. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well,
it easily on these kits you can easily swap out.
Right, and then on their timber frame houses, they actually have a piece that punches out that does hide the timber.
Spots.
Yeah, because you're right. That's like immersion breaking.
Immediately, 100%. The second I see that, I go, "Oh, cool!" Like,
yep.
Because no matter what people are going to do it fast. You're going to see a glue spot there too. Doesn't matter how you paint it, you're going to see the glue spot.
Right. And that's what actually, I ended up losing almost a whole week because once we started, me and Tyler started like putting texture paste on them, on the glue marks. It was like, oh, this looks so good because it's just the dirt and grime and all the dust from all the burning and shit. And I was like, we need to do this on every single one. So like every corner, every gap, we just started hitting them, you know. And so it like doubled the time it took, but the payoff is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Because there's so much texture and the buildings are so much more visually interesting, you know. They're going to, the models in front of them are
going to look sick. Hey, what do you say? What do you say every time?
What's that? Oh, yeah, the city got hit by a freaking meteor, you know.
Yeah, who cares?
right. Can't break it enough, you know.
Yeah, break a corner off and you're like, oh, shit.
That's a new building.
Got hit by a meteor. Who cares?
Yeah. So besides that, I've been dabbling in a little bit of mold making and casting.
You want to give any? Pretty fun. You want to give them a story? One of the multiple stories of injury.
Yeah. I took a couple bumps and bruises along the way making some trophies for the Under the Dice Fest Nemo. I had a mishap with a blowtorch exploded in my hand and outside. It got a pretty nasty burn, but got away pretty luckily there.
Do you want to tell the story? You want to tell the story?
Well, from inside.
Let's tell the inside perspective.
So I show up a little later. You guys were already smelting metal models outside.
Just on the sidewalk.
Just on the sidewalk next to the studio in our residential building we're in. And I'm like, oh, okay, this smells awful. I'm going downstairs. So I just start. I don't even know what project I was working on. Probably my board revision 4.0. But I'm working on my board, and then Paul runs down, opens the door pretty calmly, and is like, hey, fire extinguishers? We got fire extinguishers? And I'm just like, no, maybe, I don't know. He's like, well, I need them now. And then the door shuts, and he runs into the facilities room next door.
And we kind of look at each other, and we're like, that seems like an emergency, but he was way too calm.
He was way too calm for that.
Yeah, man. Once it happened, I was like, the torch was in my hand, but the fire was in front of me, so I couldn't.
So the threads on the end of the torch weren't down all the way?
No, I think the torch, like the tube to the end of the torch, you know, was loose inside of it from like just kicking around. Yeah. It was like a snap torch that screws onto a bottle of gas. And I think it was like loose from just kicking around for like 10 years in my toolbox. So I had to like move to ditch it, and I threw it into the front yard, which is like right.
Butted against a main street,
you know, where people are like moving all the time. And now I don't know really much about fire science. So Steve told me later that, there probably wasn't enough in there
enough heat coming out to make any real problems.
Right. But all I'm thinking in my head is, man, if this thing pops, it's gonna fire into the road and just hit somebody, it's gonna hurt somebody. And
the guy walking across, that's all I can think of, is the older guy walking across the street on the other side of the road, just kind of like staring at the fire and you scrambling. And he just kind of stops for a second to look, and it's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like to one side there's all this wood, and then like in front of me is the backyard where I wanted to throw it, but I was like,
But the fire was in front of me, so I couldn't go that way. So
panic
I had to
brain, you know? Yeah. You were panicking.
Dakota's in his little car, just like watching this happen.
You know, so I turn around to him with a ball of fire in my hand, and I'm wearing a this like Chinese hoodie, and like which luckily I got real because I ditched it, and I'm like, all right, now the thing I was thinking in my head was, all right, now you got to stop, drop, and roll. But when I looked down to my hand, the fire was out, and my shirt did not catch on fire. So I was like, all right, I'm in the clear. Now I need to get water on this. But I was like, but I have to fucking make sure I should put that out first. I'm going to blow it for everybody. You know,
everyone's looking at me like, what do we do? And I'm like, yeah. There's nothing we can really do.
You know, Steve goes, I'm off duty.
I know. Wait, you son of a bitch.
Did we ever end up getting a fire extinguisher?
No.
We still don't have one.
I was like thinking clearly. Like my brain was so
I'll go
fire.
Out after.
I think first thing I thought was, okay, Gage's mom wrote fire extinguisher. That's the first thing on the list. I know it's down there. So I walked downstairs and I asked them. And when they looked at me, I'm like, come on. You know, Gage's like, maybe next door. But you had a look of uncertainty on your face. Then when I went there, I grab it. I get up there.
It's empty.
And it's empty. And then the other two are empty because they're in the closet.
Expired, yeah, just to hidden get thrown in the back.
They're hiding them from the building inspector.
So I ended up grabbing a spade shovel and grabbing a scoop of dirt.
Probably the best thing you could have done.
Yeah, right. Smothering it. Yeah. Should have jumped on it. Dakota, you should have jumped on it.
Yeah.
I wanted the grenade.
Yeah, so then I rinsed it off and I got lucky. Yeah, no like bad scar tissue
or nothing.
I was
blown away
so.
That you did not get like a crusty scab that half your hand fell off of.
Right. Sigmar's blessing, I guess.
That's
it, right? Uh-huh. He heard what you're doing for the new age.
And then later that night.
So then the next day, since that wasn't bad enough, I was doing something in my driveway, and it had rained earlier in the day, so the driveway was wet. And I was like, well, you know, my hand feels good. It's not really hurting, so why don't I go and make a couple more casts because I want to get a bunch done. So I make the pour. Everything's going good. And I turn around, and I lift my – so this time I have all my PPE on. And I lift the visor, I turn around to walk away, and I trip over the extension cord that's connected to the little metal melter that we have. And that kicks over and spills half of a cup of molten pewter onto the wet driveway. So it immediately pops, and then one of the pieces came up and hit me in the eye. And you know, my eyelash blocked a lot of it.
Liquid
pewter. Yeah, liquid pewter. So as we were talking about, I guess a lot of the heat came off when it hit the water and popped, you know, it became solid or whatever. But when it hit my face, some of it went into my eye. And so I went and looked in the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's something in my eye. And I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do? You know, so I tried to, like, rub my eye to, like, see if it would move, and it didn't move. And I'm like, oh, I'm fucked.
Well, it was, like, stuck to you. You could see it stuck it was, like, to
yeah,
your
like,
eyeball.
Yeah, so I Google it, God. And it's like, I have a piece of metal. So I guess it's pretty common for guys who
Machiners.
Welders and fabricators and stuff. So it's like, it's a piece of metal, pretty much at that point, a metal burr or whatever, like, on my ocular surface.
Yeah.
So then I go, and I drive across town to the, my wife and kids are in the basement, right?
Yeah, you say, how mad was Laura?
Because
she knew about the burn.
Yeah, she knew about the burn. Yeah. And she was, like, rolling her eyes. She's like, you guys should be careful. You know, my brother was like, what the fuck are you guys doing over there? You know, these fucking nerds. Right? And so then,
hey, come on down and find out, buddy.
Yeah, right. So then I go, to the walk-in, right? And then there's like babies crying. There's people there. She goes, we're too busy. I can't help you. Maybe you can go. I go, it's on my eye. You know, she goes, no, I can't help you. So I'm like, all right. Well, she goes, you can go tomorrow or something like that to the hospital or emergency room. Like, okay. So then I go home. So then I go to CVS to get eye drops and shit like that. Then I go to my brother's house. He wasn't home. And then I go back to my house, and then I have to tell my wife. She comes upstairs. She goes, what? You went around and did all this? I was like, yeah. I was like, can you try and hit it with a Q-tip and, like, move it off my eye? And she's like, that was, like, what I had thought of. Or maybe I read it online, or that's what I came to. So I'm trying to flush it out. It's not moving, though. So I'm like, but it doesn't hurt either. Yeah. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? So every time she tries to put the cotton swab in my eye would blink. And so then I went to the... She's like, she made me an appointment for the wall. She was like so annoyed, rolling her eyes, blowing out her, like, you know. And it's so,
Laura, you're great.
Yeah, I know. What a gem. So she makes the appointment for me. I go to the walk-in. I'm in there in 10 minutes. Nobody's there. This girl puts a numbing thing on my eye, and then she's just cranking on it with the Q-tip. And she's like, yeah, it moved, but I don't see it. I don't have it on my thing, you know. And then so then. She's like running my eye under the faucet and like blasting it with this spray, and you know, moved out. You know, so I think it flushed out.
That's why they have those eye wash stations.
It's fucking behind your eye now.
Yeah, I was say,
it's just back
in your brain now.
Yeah, right. I know, right? I wonder. But I mean,
part man, people, part machine right there.
Yeah, right. Real AdMech guy. the machinists and like trades guys, they must have this. It must be super common.
I mean, they wear those goggles that like press to your face. Nobody wears
those anymore.
Not the suction ones, but the hard plastic
welders
ones.
Do. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. 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 It was a really idiots. Common welder yeah. thing, with, like slag and stuff.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
But yeah.
Those
but
are I mean, nerds.
Yeah. So I can't emphasize enough the importance of wearing all your PPE until you're totally clear of the workstation.
You know, I
learned these lessons the hard way. Never thought it would happen.
Right there.
That's Never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah. Know? Safety's one of them.
Yeah. So then, right. So then I also made a mold of, in addition to the things for Nemo, I made this one of this really cool conversion that I got from Evan. And I'm using that to make a couple Stormcast characters. And I've been working on a ton of the Stormcast. I got a bunch of guys that Gage gave me and Durzin. And I've been getting those ready for Phil's campaign. And I'm pretty stoked on that.
He's in.
Yeah.
He's in.
All righty.
Yeah. I found a nice paint scheme too that I think I showed all you guys that before too, that I was able to knock out with only a couple of paints. And I can do it like really quickly to get everybody like cohesive. And then I can still go back and mess around
detail,
with them,
yeah,
detail them up and stuff, make them stand out.
Do some free hands on their fucking cloaks and shit.
I mean, maybe I'll try that after Adepticon, after I've evolved, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I do have a bunch of transfers that I made and printed on transfer sheets at my house that I'm going to use those. Like, I got the Mordheim Owl from, not the Tom Cryer one, the one from the rule book that's on the guy's head.
Yeah.
Really cool. And then, and then a couple comments and stuff like that, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the trophy store. Yeah, I should, I mean, hopefully they'll, you know.
I
gotta get
oh, yeah. You know what I was thinking about, too, was that place across the street.
Matt's?
No, the power store? Tools place.
Yeah.
They sell a lot of wood. So they might have, like, offcuts or little, maybe even just, like, little pieces.
Plinth
for
things?
Plinth
oh, yeah.
things, yeah. Because I'm sure that, like, that's a hobby shop for like lathe guys, you know?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And they might have those kind of
lathe
cuts.
Guys.
Lathe guys.
That's a big.
I mean, I just need a little square block.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Square block on top of a bigger one, and then the fucking just mount the thing right on top.
Maybe with like a live edge, you know?
Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of.
Ooh, there you go.
Know,
fresh.
Like, you square off like the five sides, and then the top is still whatever. Raw.
Real trophy shit.
Yep. How about you, Gage? What have you been up to?
I was going
to
say, anything else? I feel like you've been, lot of
we're
it
catching
now is
up
like,
right now. We're catching up.
Oh, yeah, that's
Paul.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of, like, you're the behind the scenes guy.
You're the guest of honor. You can
keep
cook
going,
as long as you want.
I wouldn't even say he's a guest. He's a member.
I appreciate it. But
a week later, you'll always post something. You're like, oh, yeah, I just finished this whole thing. And we're like, Paul, you didn't even show any work in progress. Like, what the fuck?
Work in progress is the biggest way to defeat your motivation.
Yes and no. You know, listen, if you post it in the Discord and in Rust and you get
I don't
like,
even post things that are finished.
If you get 16 flame emojis, nothing
oh,
feels
yeah,
better, bro.
There's nothing better than the In Rust We Trust flame. I love it.
A little Blanche love with the Blanche with the hard eyes.
I
posted the board in its like working state on the Mordheim Facebook with the like, and then I posted like the flyer for the event, like 100 person Mordheim event, biggest event this year.
That's right.
And some fuckers are responding like, how are you organizing 100 people playing at once? And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we're different over here, you know?
Get fucking learned.
Yeah. I think I said it to Steve the other day, or maybe it was Gage, but like, remember last time I was on here and like last year, like I was so worried that people were going to be coming in there like these like crushers, like
some Grognard tryhards.
Yeah, really like, you know, tournament player guys that were going to be like, oh, this is not up to my standard, or, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
And it's like, and no, it was like, you know, 45 of the coolest people I ever met showed up, you know, and it was like, so yeah, that's how the people do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the other things I've been messing with really are the Middle Earth Strategy Battle Games battle companies.
Mm.
And, well, you know, that really is everything as that it was been built up to be on this podcast, I got to say. I'm really having a ton of fun with that, like the mechanics of the game. And it's just like nerding out about that. And like the models are like, they're just different than the 40K and like AOS models or even the old Warhammer models. You know, some of them are just like, some of them are super cool. Some of them are like really crappy, but they all have like a charm to them, you know?
Right.
They got a price on them too.
Yeah, right. Yep. But I ended up meeting up with a guy and buying a bunch of models, and turns out I have like enough for a whole army now. So that's pretty
sick.
Cool.
Yeah. Of goblins?
Oh, and actually they're orcs.
Orcs.
Angmar orcs, yeah. Was the one I found, because there's a really cool thing called Tabletop Admiral, and they have like a plugin so you can like in the web browser build your army. And yeah, okay.
It's like cool. If Battlescribe was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All drop down menus and like, you know, it's almost like the AOS app for building the army. And so I'm looking forward to painting those guys up and playing that. Then at Adepticon, I'll be running an 8-person single day campaign, narrative campaign for Dead by Lead. Woo. That AV Hobbies made. And I'm pretty stoked for that, you know. So I've been like going through scenarios in my head about how I'm going to run that. And it's gonna be like kind of an RP thing, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun, I think. You know,
how many rounds did you say?
It's gonna be three. Most likely, we'll be able to tie it up in three rounds.
Yeah.
Is there?
Might need a fourth game, but
if I wanted some cowboys to play with, because I want to paint some, because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it'd be fun. Where could I get some cowboy minis?
So if you go, so there's a couple companies that made them
for
in time. Yeah. So if you wanted to order them right away, Warlord Games, I believe it was, made a plastic one, or Great Escape Games, it is, has a plastic sprue where you can just clip them off and put them together. There's also, Alex had he commissioned a bunch of 3D models that are really sick. Really detailed, nice poses and stuff like that.
I thought he was just going to go, yeah, there's a site called Google. You can fucking do it, Steve.
Gage, what was the name of that guy that pulp whatever?
Oh, dude, that guy rock
figures, I think.
Yeah, that guy definitely has to have.
With that big Indiana Jones board that he had, well, it wasn't maybe Indiana Jones, but like, it was like a big desert, like, canal.
I mean, I only remember him because I talked to him about Bigfoot.
Yeah,
It's the same guy then. Yeah. Rocks. Nice. He's that ad guy.
Yep, pulpfigures.com.
Yeah, you got to meet this guy, Paul, at Adepticon this year. He had the craziest board set up just to draw your attention over to him.
Oh, no shit.
It was just...
That's awesome.
It was so cool.
His range of the shit that he has is just crazy.
There was something at first where I was like, this guy's got to be a fucking weirdo and I don't want to talk to him. It was like, it was, he had a bunch of like indigenous models
mm-hmm.
where, I mean, the scale is like perfect. They're sculpted perfectly. He does all the work himself, but it was like, he just had like an uncomfortable amount. And then, like, this is like a very pale faced white guy that is and I'm like,
well, oh, no. And then he's, when we were talking, he's like, yeah, like, I think he's like, my wife is like an anthropologist, and like, we're very like close with like the community.
Well, she was a certain percentage of like First Nation, is the proper term.
Yeah, because he is, I think, from Alberta.
Yeah. So,
or maybe BC.
Right. And he was like, all of this is like historically accurate through what, like, when my wife has discovered and like her lineage. And I was like, oh, okay. Now this, like,
through a cool
like
lens.
The clothing, like everything like that. Oh, that's really neat.
Because I was like, why does this guy just have like so much of this, like, one specific tribe? Mm-hmm. Like, it felt a little weird, like judging a book by its cover type thing. But no, it was all good.
Cool. I also did paint a bunch of Civil War guys in the fashion of a Connecticut troop. I hit up Tyler about that, and he gave me a bunch of guys to put together, and I painted them up like a troop from Connecticut. That was pretty cool and a lot of fun, you know. But there's a lot of cool cowboy minis out there, because there's another game like Dead Man's Hand before this one that. And then I think like people have been collecting and painting cowboy miniatures for a while. So some of the sculpts are like way old, you know, super dated and like chunky and stuff. But I found a really awesome gang of Mexican guys that were made for Dead Man's Hand that I really liked. You know, that's probably the gang I'm going to run personally. But yeah,
I want some nice El Mariachi.
Oh yeah, they models. Got that kind of stuff. Yeah,
guy with the guitar case full of guns. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So Gage, what the hell have you been working on?
You know.
I
would say a lot and not a lot at the same time. The
casting with Durhams.
Durhams, bro. Shout out Fossil Theory. The Durhams, like, random like takeover lately. It's plaster, for people that don't know. It's like a plaster alternative, but it's silicone based. Or there's a silicone additive in it. So it cures way fucking faster than plaster does. It smells great. It's been using the Terrain Tutors method of tin foil for rocks. And my board has started to take shape. I told everyone they can fucking beat my ass if I don't finish it by today of recording.
Well, finishing, that's a crazy thing to say.
No, just the landscaping of it.
Yeah.
It's gotten to a point where when you're not here and I look at it, I'm like,
I'm just going to start doing stuff to it.
my only problem is anything that is not instant like gratification.
Yeah.
ADHD brain just says, okay, go do something else. So when I pour the shit to cast while it's drying, I'm like, well, now I just have... I could just free reign because I can't work on the board right now.
I know you're not true. Because while I was waiting for the, you know, all my stuff to be 3D printed, thank you very much, Ian. I was just like, well, fuck, there's nothing else I can do with this board right now. Right. I don't
such
want
a blockade in my brain.
Yeah, yeah. I can't touch it until all of the pieces are in front of me and I can kind of arrange them how I want them.
Pretty much. Same. And yeah, the problem I definitely
feel you.
Is the random like dimensions of the rocks I'm using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't just figure out where they would go prior to breaking them because I'm just casting random shapes and then hitting it with a hammer and then puzzle piecing
it
together.
You're not hitting it with a hammer. We do not have a hammer.
That's true. I'm using the back of an X-Acto blade. But so that's kind of been like the base of what I've been working on. I figured out the Chaos Dwarf color scheme I wanted yesterday.
And the Chorfs are for Mordheim?
Thank you, Steve. Yes.
Because I know you've been talking about them for a very long time.
Literally a year, because they were supposed to be done for last Nemo, right. And then I just didn't do them. So.
Oh, no.
Is anyone here going to play?
I want to.
I mean, not in the event, but I would like to play a game or two over the weekend.
So. I mean, I'm very open. I don't like Mordheim. As a main game.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah.
This fucking guy!
There's definitely better narrative games in my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
Which we'll get into in the main topic. But in light of running the largest event, I feel like I should also, if I have time to play, I would like to play.
Yeah. There's a handful of things about Mordheim that rock. There's just other like small like technical things I think that just show their age.
Absolutely.
Like it just feels very.
We can nitpick Mordheim a little bit later in the episode because I got my own grievances with the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it goes in with the topic anyway. But the besides those two things, it's been a lot of behind the scenes shit for the server. The shirts are finally done. They should be coming in. For
new
us
logo
next week. Yeah, the new logo.
All
everything.
The shirts for the fucking podcaster here.
Podcaster shirts are in. There's just a lot of behind the scenes shit that is still hobby adjacent, but not really.
Gage does a lot of the admin work.
Yeah.
It's, so that, yeah.
What I will say, the cool thing about like...
I do nothing.
about this getting up and running now is like between In Rust and then... Because like Under the Dice is Steve's thing. In Rust is like my thing. Hivescum is all of our thing. But the lines are very blurred with all of us running stuff at the same time.
It's also we all just kind of help each other do all
right.
of these
We're
things.
All putting input into Under the Dice. Everyone's putting input into In Rust. Everything's... through Hivescum. So everyone's got like a little piece of the pie. But what's cool about it is like now that like the ball is rolling on a lot of it, for In Rust specifically, now that there's like some financial backing for the shirts, I'm just putting it back into like other art. Steve sent me an artist this morning. I just immediately bought $100 worth of art just from this
guy.
He
does cool shit.
Yeah.
Well, that was like Under the Dice with the fucking paying that dude to do the design for Nemo.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I got some money in the bank. Well, I can splurge on
that. That is the best
design.
Part about it. So it's like literally at this point, I feel like it's like, what more could you ask for? You know, it's like once people see the cool shit that's happening, the money goes right back into more cool shit. So
it sometimes blurs that line of like being in a band, like the band. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we can afford to make these sick shirts.
I think that's like, our mentality.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other people that are keeping it like that.
It feels like that while we're doing it.
Yeah,
that's like why
it's very apparent those that do get it, like Uncle Adam.
Yeah.
You could see his shit just rolls into the next cool shit. Like stuff like that is just, it's apparent, and that's why the vibe is so cool with these people and the same like-mindedness. But yeah, I mean, not much to show. Hopefully, I mean, not hopefully, by today, that board will be assembled. So, everyone's getting their licks in, you know?
Yeah.
I also just noticed that
we got a couple new leather
paddle
belts.
Out of the. I have a sword in the trunk of my car or the back of my truck right now.
Well, if you kill me, then I can't finish the board. All right?
Sword spankings.
Hey, listen, I wasn't lying.
Why do you keep a sword in your car?
Don't worry about
it.
To
catch that.
Fuck around, and find out.
Western Mass man was arrested after a road rage incident involving a sword.
I just noticed the grounding rod to the to the...
Paul and I were talking about that. The fucking shit. The transformer they installed. There's two of them. There's one on the other side.
Just grounding rods that go through the floor.
Drill the fucking hole through the floor for the grounding rod.
Oh, my goodness. So are they done now?
I don't know.
Definitely not.
But
when I see a bunch of bolts at the bottom of the panel that's exposed, yeah. I would say it's not finished.
Oh, somebody closed it up, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't you, was it?
No.
We just shut it. Yeah, this is all good.
So for everyone listening, the it's a three-phase system here for the solar in the...
for our electricians.
The building that we're in. And the transformer is... way bigger than they thought they said it was going to be. So
they said it was one panel going.
Yeah, one foot by 2 foot panel, and now we have
three of those plus a switchboard plus a what was that 6 foot by
I don't know
foot and a half panel plus a 4x3x3 panel.
We're losing like transformer
3x3 transformer.
30 square feet here of footage.
I think that's about 3x3x4.
We're gonna make it a photo booth probably on top of the transformer, yeah. And then the rest of it will be ductwork area for our 3D printing setup. So
that just reminded me of speaking of hating Instagram, dude. Like, how many times do you have to log in there and you get shown like a reel that like auto plays and it's like some guy like getting like hitting a wire or something
and getting
like
blasted?
That?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh yeah. Now I'm thinking about that as I'm sitting 2 feet from this thing.
I got some channels I follow. I'll send you. Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, my reels are crazy. So is that it?
I didn't think there was more than muscle girls.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So our main topic today. Brought to us by Paul. So today we're going to talk about what kind of gamers we are. What that means is what do we like in a game? What do we look for in a game?
What are we trying to get out of the game?
What are we trying to get out of the game?
And
in general.
And in the hobby as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a crossover between the two.
And I had a really hard time with this question.
So
I phrased it the right way at first, too.
So it's funny. I was actually... kind of thinking about it the last couple weeks. So it's feeling very just like hobby negative in general.
Do you know why that was?
I mean, part of it is definitely having the time crunch of, because I operate at my own speed.
Right.
That's just like how I exist. So,
right.
And I can only ever focus on one thing at a time. So, and I haven't painted a miniature in probably a couple months now because I was... You know, I spent a lot of time basing stuff.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I, you know, was able to start working on the board, it was nothing but the board.
I would say definitely a month because you were still finishing the...
I feel like it's been longer.
I thought he was
just basing them. I didn't know.
We'll get an exact timestamp of the last time you said you were working on Zangors.
If you pull up the photos in our group chat, I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah, but it's been
a little while.
I would say at least 6 weeks. I'll say at least that long.
Mm-hmm.
That and then all of the like old world stuff coming and being like
mid,
not just mid, but also me just like I. Just like the overwhelming, just like everyone, like in the community, saying like, "Oh, beasts are done." Like they're,
and
being like, "Yeah, I know I can use them for other game systems, but so here's part of what I sort of figured out contemplating this question. It's like, why do I only care about one game system, and why do I only care about my one faction that I play?"
Mm-hmm.
And so. One of the things is I suffer from really bad decision paralysis. So having very set in stone rules, that's why like I go really crazy like when people bring in homebrew stuff or like when it comes down to just like, well, I have to like parse, you know, something out with someone like doing some sort of like conflict resolution, like trying to like figure something out. Like, no, I like the structure of having rules in place. And just by nature of the fact that I know the rules of AOS really well, is just like, well, I have to stick to this because there's no guesswork for me.
Right.
And there's no back, like, you know, there's not a ton of referencing to do. So that as far as like the mechanics of a game, that is I don't like a lot of things to be left up to interpretation. And I think sometimes kind of make it seem like I am not a narrative gamer because I do like to play like competitive modes. And what I think actually is I do like narrative. I love narrative. But what I want is instead of creating a narrative, I would like the gameplay to reveal the narrative to me.
Correct. Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you saying you're not a narrative player, I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, you have
it's just a way of getting to it.
Yeah. So, right. And then here, so this is where it gets to the broader scope outside of gaming is just like, you know, me as a person, I'm a very curious person. I love to learn. I love to gain new knowledge. I like to see as big of a picture of everything as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was thinking about, like, well, what kind of video games do I like to play? How do I like to play video games? Because a game is a game, whether it's a tabletop. And I like exploration. I love getting lost in
big open
open worlds. I love world building. Yep. I love to just see like a huge... I like there to just be an endless amount of discovery and novelty for me to make.
Right, right.
And so in order to sort of give myself an endless amount, I think I don't want to be boxed in by a set narrative that maybe everyone is like trying to tell. Whereas like if I'm playing a
like even the games that we play, like there was a story going on, like a rough idea of a story. Like when we had two games in a row. The
so what happens? Yeah, I can play. Like, I can play a game, and then as I sort of see what is happening, that the story it happens in my head. Like the not just like. And when I say the story, I don't mean this guy goes over here and hits this guy. I mean the motivations of the characters on the table, how they ended up at this table, you know, how they ended up in the battle, how they are going to act after, you know, all that stuff sort of it comes into vision while I'm already playing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, with our match that we, I think, fucking beat to death on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I think about the one all the time.
That is a prime example of how the narrative was formed through the story, or through the through the playing of the game, where we had a seed of like, oh, I was going here and I bumped into your warband. That's how we started.
Yeah,
and then we ended up with this crazy narrative of like a 1v1 and my guy accepting his fate and dying to your guy while everyone marched around, and then it informed your gameplay decisions to move guys around and mine as well. To be like, guy accepts his fate, he's gonna fucking use this extra action to move forward to let himself die. So, yeah, I mean that's definitely a different way of going into it rather than like here's our full 3 pages of lore, and this is what we're gonna reenact in Age of Sigmar compared to how you're describing it.
Yeah, and the other thing too is sort of like having that self revelation. What I want is an endless discovery, something to find is making me. It's I've started to have a lot more ideas percolating on my D&D, my world to be. That is, yeah.
Yep.
I was having some really good ideas during the work week, sitting in my truck looking at YouTube shorts about One Piece.
Yeah.
I was getting really good ideas. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Hey. So that's about it. You know, I want out of any sort of sort of escapist experience is discovery, exploration.
Do you think you've always kind of been that gamer? Or do you think that's more
absolutely.
Having a more refined group to play?
No, absolutely. Cuz I've always played single player games. I'm not a big like tabletop gaming is my multiplayer.
Right.
I don't like playing fucking first person competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, video games. I've always tended towards open world RPGs, JRPGs. I understand the concept of open world fatigue in big games, but I don't really experience it.
Yeah, Yeah.
I do sometimes. You know, if you know, I'm not given like a great reason to
explore the map. If you're not getting the reasons to explore, yeah.
Yeah. But in general, yeah, it's the same thing that motivates me as a person. I'm always looking for new knowledge, new information, something to save to the hard drive, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
Paulie, what about you? What do you think?
So for me, like, I was thinking, okay, I'm definitely like a narrative gamer, cuz like if I'm not like seeing something happen on the battlefield and getting the story out of that, you know, I'm not really that interested. You know, I wouldn't really want to show up and just play chess or play checkers.
The old, we just keep rolling until one of us dies. Yeah, no story.
Right, yeah. Right. Like, so yeah. So that's why I like the miniatures so much, is the, you know, the story and the model, first of all, then the board itself after that, you know, so definitely in more narratively bent, I would say. But then I was thinking like, wait a minute though. Like, I play Counter-Strike is like the video game I like, and that's
degenerate.
Like, yeah, right. It's like, that's the
four drops last round tiebreakers. Steal my final kill.
Right, right. The you know, so that's like super competitive, you know, where mm-hmm. and almost like not diluted, but it's like it's really sharpened or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know, or refined, I guess, you know, the meta and all that shit.
Right.
And I did like playing competitive Magic, you know, mm-hmm. like at tournaments and stuff like that. But then I kind of got tired of all that, and I was really getting into this because, like Phil was saying, like the escapist part of it, and then like, you know, not knowing what's going to happen and letting the dice play that out, and then getting. Then I started to realize too, like once I was listening to Trey on his podcast, and I heard him say, like, you know, most players don't even think about what they actually want, and so that really stuck with me, and I was thinking, like, what do I want? I want to see these decisions that I make play out on the board and have some effect on the end game, you know, and it'd be more than just like, you know, when we how we deployed, you know what I mean? I want to be able to,
right.
So I guess really I want to be like, I guess I'm like halfway, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause
I found like Battletech really does that well. Like you have like, everything's like defined by the tiles, you know, and mm-hmm. then the weapon stats and then everything else. But then you have the randomness of the dice, you know, and you can tell a story that way too. You know, by like how you balance the teams and that kind of stuff. So I would say I definitely lean like that way, but I do want like a granularity, I guess, in gameplay and the ability to really affect what's happening there.
Right.
You know,
I mean, Battletech 2, it's funny you bring that up because that, like, Warhammer lore has been there forever, obviously, but the Battletech lore
has been there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, that is. I think like Star Wars Wikipedia is got to be like a whole server like somewhere off. BattleTech has to be like 8 or 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's Sarna.
That website is just so incredibly large that I don't know who's writing that much content for it. But
each mech from each era has a page.
That's what I'm saying. Like minimum,
it's crazy.
Let alone the pilots, weapons, like, the politics that went into the pilots. Let alone to like everything. It is insane how much goes into that.
Oh yeah,
fucking,
the factories that produce this model
right.
of
yeah.
that weapon. Yeah,
it's crazy how like I hear Evan and you even talk about it, and I'm just like, I feel like you're speaking another language, which I feel
right.
is crazy coming from like we come from war games. Like
right.
we all have that thing, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
another world.
That's exactly where, like, for you to say, like, Battletech can have that sort of where you're kind of getting into that and you're kind of taking your place within that huge, insane lore canon. It's a very different vibe than, like, okay, yeah, we're Phil and I are showing up to have an AOS match where it's like, in Battletech, you can have that narrative of, like, okay, we're playing this year, this event, this thing.
Yeah.
And none of it's actually real, but both of the players can still be in that mindset to have that granularity of the game.
This even though it affects just, the next war of the fucking
yeah,
world,
yeah.
kind of.
Even
thing.
Though it's just three mechs versus three mechs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And technically on a flat map, but
right,
it's
right.
still that narrative of just insane level of.
Yeah, what do they call that? Like all the background, all the unseen things that actually makes what you're looking at that much more intense or immersive, I guess, you know.
Verisimilitude.
Nice.
I've been seeing, like, even you talk about, like, not you, but, like, in general Battletech guys, they'll talk about, like, the weapon systems and how they weren't good for, like, this year's model of a certain mech, and I'm like, That's fucking crazy. Oh, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, it is. Like car guys. Maybe that's a crossover for you.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
You know, the 59 Chevys, you know, they don't make them like the old Atlases from this fucking court.
Yeah, 58 and 59 is usually 1 year only designs. That's Chevrolet. Yeah. Yeah. So I still though now, I really don't even, because I've played more games in the last year than I ever have in my life. And
I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably. I really don't even know what I want yet. You know,
yeah.
I was trying to think about it.
Always learning, always growing.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. And I think it's like really that the day, I guess I'm still, yeah, like you said, I'm still learning. So I'm still kind of like a neophyte in that regard, because there's obviously people out there who played so many more games in their time. And, I remember like the way we did the Last War, right?
Mm-hmm.
That day, that was so cool. Like people buying into like what they were doing. Like in the third game, I'm playing against Terry, and there's an NPC who's raining down on us like with sniper shots, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Terry reveals, "Hey, I'm actually on that guy's faction the whole time." And it's like, "What the fuck?" You know? So
right,
then
right.
Now it's like 2-on-1 kind of, and I gotta like switch,
right.
You know? And that was cool. And then like I guess. the mechanically, you know, having the ability to adapt to that inside mm-hmm, of the mm-hmm. game. I need that from the game, you know, and then
right.
I also really do appreciate like to go into the narrative part more, like the list building part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want that to be engaging too.
Right.
You know,
right.
So making your guy specific to like what the book allows.
Right. Like, or like options for there, and like give me something to mm-hmm. that I can, when I show up to the guy, I can kind of like say, yeah, this is what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I can
yeah.
make a little story with, you know what I mean? And, or even like random generators I found were super fun.
So that's kind of bleeding into like my response of the whole thing is where I didn't really know this until this crew kind of started is really what I want from the hobby is like hobby prompts.
Yeah.
And that leads into the game the same way. I want to be challenged. Like, we're making this war. Like, this is why Anvil of Apotheosis was so cool to me. I wanted a hero that I could have in my army, but is custom to me, but I'm given a restriction. It's the same thing with Magic. I want to play Commander. I don't give a shit about the meta of anything. I see this terrible worm Hellion card that does this cool thing that's unlike anything else. I'm going to make a deck around this really bad card, and I'm going to spend $1,000 on this deck to make it as cool as it can possibly be, even though there's 85 options that are better than this real shit commander. I do it time and time again. It's like I want what I want, but I want to do it within the confines of the narrative prompt.
And you want to do it your way.
Exactly. Like when we're all going to kitbash a model for this one event. Like the mini gangs day at Curtis's is still the coolest thing. Yeah. The, having the cards and saying, okay, this guy's a medic, but he has to have a shotgun. Figure it out. And then being like, oh shit, okay. And now your mind is racing to any path that it can possibly go as long as he has a med kit and a shotgun. He could be a fucking tumorous, vestigial, twin growing guy, or he could just be a very normal medic with a shotgun pointed in the air in a heroic GW pose.
Yeah.
That is like kind of all I ever want out of it. So having that prompt, like I was saying with Phil, is like, okay, we start the match. My guy's here. He's coming here. Figure it out. Like those challenges are to me the only thing that I ever really want from the hobby. It's just always have that creative prompt to be like, okay, I'm on the spot. I got to figure this out right now. So hobby-wise and narrative-wise, to me, will always be the way to play. Competitively, I don't think I'll ever really care unless you can combine all three.
Yeah. Like make it competitive while also retaining the randomness kind of.
Yes.
Like
now you have to make the medic with the med kit and the shotgun, but we're playing in a tournament and you have an X amount of time to do it and you have this much.
And it's try hard.
Yeah.
Know, in parentheses, you know. It's
yeah.
Try
as much
hard.
As it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think, like I said, that kind of only came out through playing with our group and how hyped we get on random games.
Just try everything.
Listeners will know how psyched we are in a game for three episodes, and then we'll go on to something else. It's just, it's how it is.
I think you said something that triggered this in my brain of like, we haven't, you know, we have all these games that we play and we like them, But I don't think we've fallen in love, you know, like with a game. Yeah. But then it's like we still move on. We haven't found that game that's like, this is the game.
Right. I would say mechanics wise, I've really fallen in love with middle or strategy battle game battle companies. It definitely does not scratch the kit bashing, custom itch.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's just, I think it's just given enough time, eventually we'll get, like, someone will make that game.
Right.
Or
we will.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, all the boxes will get checked.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will be the game.
Right. Right.
And, you know, you never have to play another game ever again.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
The excitement will always be there on certain things. You know what I mean? It's the same level of, like, and I'm sure we'll get to it one day, the topics of, like, sci-fi versus fantasy, but it's like, no matter what, you get hyped on something that's cool, or a movie comes out and you get hyped on that. Yep. And, okay, I want to replicate that as much as I can. Tolkien's work is just fucking perfect, so, you know, we're... Yeah.
I just watched all the extended editions back-to-back each day, so I'm pretty hyped on it.
Yeah, so it's easy to be hyped on something like that when it's in your face, and especially when your boys are hyped on it.
Is that, like, a common thing with, like, the older... Because you got to figure, like, obviously there's some people who've been doing this for, like, 30 or 40 years, like, nonstop, right? From the early days. So, like, do they eventually, like, pick up a system and then they say, okay, this is what, like, oh, is that, like, a role player thing, you know? Like, I should probably, like, those guys with, like, 30-year D&D campaigns, right? It's like, do you take this from this and do you eventually, like, morph the game you're playing to...
So, the game D&D that I think you're referencing? Yeah, that's what they do.
Like, there's Lord of the Rings influence, yeah, and there's they pick Labyrinth, and...
They pick mechanics from those things, but they're technically still playing second edition D&D, and they have been for 30 years.
Oh, the video you showed me. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Their 30-year campaign is literally just like, oh, this mechanic's cool. We'll just steal it and put it into second edition.
So I wonder if we're ever going to get there, like, okay, we're doing sci-fi today. We have this rule set that is like, you know, say like Necromunda 17 with like all these hacks like tacked on, you know, or like...
Our own game system that we even... I'm just saying, like, for reference to that, like, we have a system that we play with, but we want to play Lord of the Rings today, we use the system and it's just Lord of the Rings.
Kind of what we were tiptoeing around earlier is like the exploration in Mordheim, it can't be fucking beat.
Right.
I think it can. I looking at it the other day when I was rolling my exploration table, it's fun. It's good. I think you could add some stuff to
it. Listen, but... So you get bonuses for heroes, right? Or you get more dice added to your pool for heroes?
You only get
the only way. Yeah. Okay. You're playing Lord of the Rings middle of strategy battle games.
Yeah.
You have three heroes.
Yeah.
You could just roll. You could use the Mordheim chart every time we finish a game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It like it could lead into what Paul is saying, where it's like, okay, we're really hyped on this system, but we want a little bit more from the after game.
But then you have to break it down. Like you can't just use. That's where like we have to develop our own shit.
My fucking Moria goblin's not getting trapped in a sewer and coming out with ale that he's selling to nuns. I mean,
you could. Be good, Goblin Town, baby. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, there's gonna be some level of tweaking. So it's like. Probably to answer the grand scope for me, at least, of what this question is like, yeah, that's what I want from the game. I want to have, more or less, I want to have the crew that is accepting of all of our narrative styles to be like, what if we play this exploration with this game? Or what if we added this mechanic? Not to the point where we're stressing other players out with homebrews or anything, but it's like to the point where we can all fall in love with a system like AOS and say, okay, this is what extra we're going to do. We're going to develop a map for it. Like that level of excitement, I think, is what I personally would always want from any game.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweet. Do you have any other parts? Because you kind of answered all three of us. I think we're all kind of all in the same lane.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, like going back to what you said, like you see a world and you're like, I'm referring to Paul. Like, I watch a movie, and now I'm excited about that idea or theme, and, like, I want to explore that theme in a game or a role-playing session or something. Like, I think about how when I watched, you know, I showed Haley Heavy Metal recently, and, like, watching that final scene with Tarna and, like, all the mutant guys and in the fucking Mobius Desert, like, all the colors and everything. I'm like, oh, dude, that would, like, normally I don't gravitate to that for my fantasy sci-fi, but, like, watching it, you're like, oh, this would be such a cool, like, setting to play in for something. And then, you know, that thought flees from me, but, I would love to be able to play a game in that system.
You just did jog, I mean, kind of what you were asking, Paul, of, like, the old heads, the elders of the hobby. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they probably got excited about shit like that. But that's probably what GW did, and that's why these other games were fucking developed.
Yeah,
right.
They probably saw like a Mad Max something.
Mad Max made Gorka Morka.
You know what I mean?
Actually, yeah. No. What's the other game they did? Dark Future? The car racing game that they did?
I think that was it. Somebody posted it last week.
Oh, yeah. Right? I don't even know. But that's probably what these old heads did. And then that's when they were like, okay, we're going to sell Necromunda to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Because you think like, okay... I want to.
I'm really over 6th edition Warhammer right now.
Right. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Mad Max looks sick. Yeah.
We need a rule set for like rank and flank and, you know.
Right. But they had the established setting of like, we are a game developer for this game, so we have the clout to be able to, oh, here's a new game.
Yeah.
You're all going to play it. Yeah. And we know you are.
Orcs right. with cars.
Yeah.
There still are orcs, but now they have cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, Warhammer or 40K, but it's on a planet where there's no Space Marines. Now it's Necromunda.
Yeah,
sick. It's to change it up. Yeah, you know, we're like businessmen. We figured it out.
Straight up, dude.
We're on to you, James Workshop.
Pay up, sucker.
As far as like the kind of gamer I am, Phil poised it very well of like, think of it like a video game, because I couldn't come to an idea of what I wanted.
It's just an interface difference. It's still a game.
Yeah. And like, I thought about it, I'm like, well, what do I look for? And I think of like when video games really changed for me, it was when I first discovered the Elder Scrolls Morrowind in Game Informer. And like, that blew my mind. Like, you know, I had played Diablo 2 a lot. Like, I played a lot of video games, and it never really filled I want to just go explore these worlds that I play in.
Right.
That's all I want to do. I want to go outside the border of where these games stop.
I want to break and enter into every one of these fucking houses.
Exactly.
Find out why this guy's sleeping on a cot.
Yeah. And then and then Morrowind, you know, two sentence fucking review in a magazine, and I'm like, this is everything I wanted in a game. And then I spent 300 hours playing it until the disc stopped working in my Xbox.
Right.
And like,
you played on Xbox?
Yeah.
That's dedication, because those load times were fucking crazy.
That's why I had 300 hours in my disc.
You only had 100 hours playtime.
It's crazy that only 300 hours is all the disc had in it before it just...
I don't know if it was the drive or like my Xbox and the disc.
Trash.
No, because I tried the disc in another Xbox and it didn't work, and I had to buy the Game of the Year edition after that again. So it could have been a mix of the disc drive broke and then broke the disc, but either way.
A Phil fact that I am biting from someone else that I cannot remember where the fuck.
This is a Phil fact. Fuck
them. True Phil fact.
So, in Game of the Year edition things, so you know they're at a discounted price.
Yeah. Yep.
So one of the ways that they save money is if you see the user manual in Game of the Year editions are always in black and white and not full color.
Wow. Because
they need to save money since the game is at a discounted price.
I did not
price.
Know that.
Yeah. And that might be specific to one console, or maybe not, but I try to remember where the fuck I saw that. Might have been an Instagram.
I feel like games stopped having manuals in them probably like not long after the
this,
original
Xbox. This might have been around like a PS2 era.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because remember PlayStation, original PlayStation, the greatest hits ones had the green margin.
Yep.
You know, so those are the ones you're talking about with the black and white manual. I never actually looked at the manuals.
Which is funny, because a lot of games back then, lore for the game, if you'd be playing, you're like, what the fuck is happening? The lore
you
is
have
in
to
the
read,
fucking
You have to read the manual to understand,
Medieval.
Yep.
Quake. Yeah, with
Love
the little fucking
yeah.
skeleton guy.
Love that fucking game. But you didn't know shit about it or why you're fighting the stained glass demon guy.
Yep.
Unless you read the book.
I watched a speed run thing about that game recently, because it has a big speed run community to it.
That's insane.
Watch the video. It's fucking insane.
I never heard of it.
When GDQ came to, like, they have a small little booth at PAX every year, or like a screen. I saw like the opening scene and like when the boulders are coming down the mountain in the first level, or like second level. I know it was like a backwards jump thing to fucking go around them, and you can glitch through like some of the stairs. But speedrunners, man,
there's like a gate level where you had to do some obnoxious bullshit around the whole map to get through a cemetery gate.
Yeah,
but you could jump over it. Apparently, like if you like,
that's
there was
so
a special jump that you could.
I don't even want to know that, because that infuriated me.
You
never saw that game?
I don't think
it's
so.
Pretty sick.
Paul, it's fucking.
It was everywhere too. It had like crazy.
Got a remaster.
Yeah, it never
like
came
a
across
the fucking guy.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Cool.
Oh yeah.
Nice character design.
It's funny. I was playing golf with friends last night with Josh and.
Is this a video game?
Yeah. It's actually very, it was
it's pretty
insanely fun.
Yeah.
But then like the Team 17 logo came up And I was just like, nice. Yeah, I buy the game to play it with my friends last night, and it like I'm like, this fucking stupid ass game you guys got me playing. Team 17 comes up, and I'm like, I instantly know this is gonna be a good game.
Yeah.
Instantly know, because those are the guys who made Worms.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And Epic Chef.
Hell yeah.
Yep. And Epic Chef.
That was not the reference I was going with, but all right.
Did you guys ever come across Deadball Zone during your PlayStation era?
No. No.
It was this insane like deathmatch sport game where you would like throw a ball into you know, it was like a handball kind of thing, kind of like soccer, but you had the ball in your hand and I guess the game's rules were like soccer, but you could like kill each other, you know, and like chainsaws in your hands and stuff punch people.
I feel like Pixel Keeper Kev showed me this game.
I played a similar game called Pitball. Mm-hmm. And it sounds exactly the same, except the premise was each of the teams was like each team was like a representative of different alien races.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
These guys were like, yeah, this was awesome. It had like, you know, the season mode and all that stuff. And it was like, it hit me at the time in my life when I could like really dig in. So I was like min-maxing all my players and stuff. it's so sick. I'll show you guys some clips later on.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, I don't know what kind of gamer I am. Yeah.
A nice one.
I always give Steve a hard time. Yeah, I always say that Steve's like the power gamer spike guy. You know?
Well, he's a role player.
Right.
You like to role play.
I love to role play.
So Steve always comes back and he says
that's why he wants customization.
Absolutely, yeah.
He goes, I gotta play the coolest looking guys every time. They just happen to be the most powerful, best faction in the game, you know? And I'm always messing with him, you know. But it's but it's like, you know, I guess it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
it's funny.
That's what you like, you know. You like
Middle Earth strategy battle game, battle companies. I picked the Ghost because it was four models. I picked it solely because I was like, oh, I only have to paint four guys.
Yeah, and they're fucking banned by the community at large.
Yeah. Which is funny because they're in a fucked up version of that warband where they take the best two warbands and put them together in one.
Right, but they limit it with other options. It's because of counts. The Rangers aren't all heroes. One dead of Dunharo is not crazy.
No, the two Men of the North are the hero. They have to be the hero, and they have to be the sergeant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they are heroes.
Right, but I'm saying the whole warband at large isn't one. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
No.
Mm. I'm just going to keep playing the Ghost. Fuck you guys. But this is the problem with the Ogres, too. Like, I picked up, like, because I never thought about, like, why I really pick an army and, like, grind it out and just do it. Generally, it's, like, the first look, I think, oh, they look cool, is the thing that gets me going.
I thought you just picked Ogres because their book was coming out soon. And that was why I was like, that's why I never got butthurt about losing to them. I was like, oh, they're just the new book.
No, I got them because I had this insane idea for a kitbash in my head. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they happened to also be getting a new book.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I picked Cities when we initially started, not realizing that they'd be the last on the fucking list to get a book. But
yeah. I don't know.
Are the in AOS, are the amount of unit types for each army like vastly different? Like Stormcast has like 100 different kinds of models, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is anybody even close? You're
the Ultramarines of fucking
You have to think of it as like whatever the most popular faction is going to get the most releases.
Oh, okay.
You know? It's a goddamn business, you know?
Yeah, yeah, true, yeah. True.
Speaking of a goddamn business, like us, why don't we go to some questions?
What? Some what?
You guys are so fucking bad at segues. It's crazy.
So you're in a dead ball zone?
So you're in a dead ball zone. Why don't we do questions from the Hive? Who wants to say it? Paul has to say it.
Paul, say it.
Paul, ready?
Questions from the Hive.
That was very dramatic.
Yeah, you were not very enthusiastic.
Yeah, why don't you put a little more oomph into it, huh?
Put a little more balls
into
it.
Yeah, put a little more balls into it.
Oh, I started blowing out my own ears.
Yeah.
Take your headphones off.
All right.
Questions from the Hive.
Oh, my God.
That's not good?
No.
Oh, it's fine. Do it again.
One more time.
Questions from the Hive.
You sound like a fucking radio show guy. Give me the thing.
Oh, like a strip club DJ. That's what you want, right?
Yes.
All right, Steve, get in there.
Gets it, man.
All right, get in there.
Questions from the Hive.
Beautiful. That was awesome. All right, what's our first question?
All right. In no particular order.
Although he's reading from the top.
Yeah, I'm reading from the top. What are you all most excited about for Nemo? Everyone asked this question, so that's why it's getting answered.
This got asked last year, and we all said for it to be over.
I'm just excited
to see everyone.
Literally. Yeah, I'm just excited to see people. An excuse to get everyone, as many people as we can under one roof.
Win my award, my special award.
Your new board award, your best board award.
Yeah.
I'm actually more excited for Sunday of Under the Dice Fest. Only because I know it'll be more chill time.
Yeah. I'm also excited to see people's war bands.
I think
people have been cooking all year.
An event like this too is just so much energy in the room. Everyone is so hyped. There's like no bad vibes.
Yeah, Italy could never,
Right. We might not have the carbonara, but we're bringing it. We're bringing it for sure.
Yeah, we got Costco pizza.
Yeah.
No, we got bug burgers.
We got bug burgers, bro.
Oh, yeah.
We got bug burgers. We got Arnold's meats. Arnold's deli.
Listen, Italy's not having fucking five bands playing, all
right? Right. We got full kitchen.
That. Yeah. We got that.
Dude, vegan, they all fucking options. Live with their moms in Italy, so.
It's factually true.
Yeah, right. That's why I said it.
Yeah. Feel factually
true. They got the Mountain Vista. We're underneath 391.
Yeah.
Now Holyoke.
Yeah, definitely excited to see everybody and see what everybody's been working on, you know, all the boards coming out. It's going to be pretty sick.
I'm excited to see all the boards that
I can't wait to give away these trophies.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully we can finish them. Hopefully we have trophies for you tomorrow.
Yeah. The vibe, too, of just like you said, seeing what people's been working on. Cause everyone's excited to show their little toys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your little toys.
Oh, yeah,
I want you to tell me about your little
toys. It's toy showing time.
Yeah.
Totally. I can't wait for everyone to line their shit up.
Yeah, that really is going to be the best on Saturday. Like, so after the last round, we're going to have everybody line up all the war bands, and then you're just going to go down the list and vote for your favorite. It's going to be a ton of fun.
We got to put that announcement out for people to...
Yeah, we'll probably post some... Well, by the time you hear this, we'll have posted something in Discord already telling you about what the rundown of the day is going to be like.
Telling you fucking everything.
Yeah.
What's the next one, Steve?
Is that it? Everyone's got it?
Yeah, that's all right. All right. We're excited, you know?
We're just excited. We're excited. So from @shedquarters.
Kieran?
Is that Kieran?
That's Kieran.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the dog.
What's up, Kieran? He asks, melee weapon of choice, either fantasy or like real whelm.
So for me, it's easy. I'm a little teapot. I'm short and I'm stout, so I need a pole arm. Something to give me some reach.
What kind of pole arm?
I would say a thrusting pole arm.
Okay, not like a axe bladed.
No, not a halberd.
Like a glaive is more.
I feel like a glaive is kind of a slashing weapon.
Isn't there like 50 plus pole arm weapons historically?
There's a lot. I'm sure. Yeah.
You got the hammer.
It is practically like if you ever look up like the actual like. You know, historical guys are like, yeah, your sword is like your weapon of last resort because you want to keep people at bay with your spear.
Don't fucking come near me.
Right.
It's only if your spear gets broken or knocked out of your hand that you're fighting, you pull your sword out of the scabbard. Mm-hmm. At least for like a general infantry sort of guy, I think, yeah. How about you, Steve?
A big fucking sword.
Yeah.
This is Y-hander probably.
Yeah.
Claymore. Yeah. Like 7-footer.
You think you got the juice in you to swing it around?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're like our boy on Instagram there.
The guy that's trained.
I love that guy. Yeah. You got it.
Guts Theme.
We gotta figure out his name, but
play Guts Theme here. Thank you.
Yeah. His
it's like Smeagol 507 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. This young kid just
working his ass off
every single day, posting progress about him swinging his own berserk fucking
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon
Slayer. A weighted wooden sword that he like attaches dumbbells to.
But he's also
attached a gun to it.
Yeah,
that was mad fun. No, it wasn't to the sword. It was to his arm.
His other
arm.
Oh,
he had a gun gauntlet.
Yeah,
and he is training. He's going full Gatsu, bro.
He's got the cloak now too. He wears a cloak while he does it now.
Wow.
God. Amazing.
Every day.
I
think it's like day like 197 at this point. Mm-hmm. Like he's really getting up there.
Hey, Paul, what's your favorite melee weapon of choice?
I think IRL, I'd probably be brass knuckles because it just fit my style, I think, the best. And then I think in fantasy, I'm going to avoid the practical and go with a flail.
Oh yeah, classic chain
like
flail.
A chain flail. Yeah,
yeah. That was
flail is practical. It's how you get around a shield. I think I'm pretty sure that's historically
why he's holding it, and then the
that
chain
and
hits it,
that
and
certain types of like a kopesh, certain types of curved swords are meant to get around a shield.
Right.
Yeah. Scimitar.
Yeah, I would say realistically, it's got to be a crowbar.
Oh,
you know,
nice. I didn't even do real.
Little shout out Gordon Freeman there, but the fantasy, it would have to be a flail, or like my D&D character had like a cat of nine tails.
Oh,
yeah, it would just beat the fuck out of people with that. But realistically, it's crossbow. Why would we even go into melee?
That's
come on.
It's melee weapon.
Yeah, but why would we get into melee?
Yeah, at that point, I just
I'm
have
a smarter warrior than this question, Kieran. Come on,
blunderbuss. You get within 10 feet.
Yeah, I'm killing
you.
I'm shooting through your goddamn shield.
Yeah. All right.
Shout out, Kieran.
This question comes from AVE Plastica.
It's Ave Plastica.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Hobby. How much hobby time do you spend per week, and how do you manage that? Like, how do you manage to do that?
It really depends on if I am feeling creative. I would say between 5 and 10 hours
per seven day week.
Yeah, yeah.
Was this prior to the studio?
Studio is probably fucking less than that.
Right.
Right now, since we're like in production mode, it's definitely more than that. It's probably closer to 20 hours a week, I would guess. But I don't know. How do you do it? You prioritize it. Yeah. I have no partner, no children, no pets. It's pretty easy for me to do what I want.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve?
I don't know. It depends. Like lately, it's been like
it's
4 hours a day.
It's funny to answer this question when we've been here slaving away on these fucking boards, but more you guys than me. But
yeah, like on average, it's probably 6 hours a week, like without counting, you know, recent activity.
That I disagree with that. I think you put in crazy hours.
Yeah.
I feel like you put in 20 a week.
I think I think you don't realize.
I would say you put in 20 a week before Nemo.
I'm saying before Nemo. I don't think so.
I feel like I'm not. You were always the motherfucker that would be like, oh, yeah, the midday fucking group chat blowing up, being like, I just banged out this whole thing. I mean, it's hobby adjacent, right? You would be like, oh, I just wrote this whole fucking magic system. I woke up today and just had to write it.
Or like your shirts, when you're doing your shirts, like that's hobby.
That doesn't count, does it?
I think so.
That's hobby.
Because if you were doing the shirts, you'd be like spraying those ogres out your window.
Huffing paint.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. If I didn't have all these other fucking bullshit ideas going on.
Right.
What about you, Polly?
I would say I'm probably like in the 5 to 10 range, and that just, the high side is like when I'm super motivated on a project, you know, where I'll like get away to go do
you're
it,
a family
you know
man.
What I mean? Yeah. Yeah, and I have a fucked up work schedule, you know, so it's like
deranged.
So, yeah, so that kind of like really robs me of everything, you know? Cuz
all of our planning. Yeah.
Stay in school.
I'm a fucking loser. Right. Yeah, so I have to trade a lot of like good like leisure time to work weird hours, but yeah, like I think 5 to 10 about.
Yeah, I'm probably on the same wavelength. I would love to be more.
I think video games are our biggest bane when it comes to hobby
video
time.
Games for sure.
Totally.
Keeping, you know, a healthy relationship with your partner is definitely Steve and I have gotten in the hotbed a couple times with the getting a text of like, hey, are you ever going to come home again? I would say we're definitely fortunate enough, the studio. It's so much easier to work and be hyped on shit when other people are hyped on shit and we're all working on the same thing, especially when we're doing Nemo prep.
Yeah. It's also like the partner thing. Like, it's hard for anyone to like understand the hype and like excitement that comes with our hobbies if you're not directly in it.
Yeah.
Like when Haley comes here, she sees what's going on.
Right.
And it's way more understandable.
But
for
via
her.
Text, when you're like, I'm painting roofs for 4 hours, they're like, okay, do that later.
But then you see us in this moment of us working on this thing, and it's like clearly like this is a passion driven thing. And it's like, oh, this is much more understandable why you spend so much time here.
And this is also just to clarify, because it Steve and I aren't old men sitting on the stoop bitching about our significant others. They are very understanding. Yes. They are very open to what we are doing. It's Steve and I going above and beyond to...
We break that barrier.
To break that barrier and abuse these.
Betray that trust.
Yeah. But no, they are both sweeties.
I haven't seen you all week.
They are both sweeties and they both understand what is happening, especially with the prep going on. Yeah. But yeah, I think for sure if anyone is even questioning how to split their time up or to figure it out, I think like a community helps you get more into the mindset to put more time into what you want to do, where people are posting about their work in progresses or just getting hyped on what they're doing. Especially, like I said, we're fortunate enough to have it locally.
Yeah.
And that helps us a lot more. So,
like, just here, just the studio is a community in itself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not New England War Council being founded and taking
third
all of our
space,
time.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so,
it's crazy.
But I mean, get hyped on the Discord. Post there.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, right. And don't let it, like, become a burden either. You know what I mean? Exactly. You can't get away. Like, because that has happened to me a couple times, like, where, like, it's almost like, oh, dude, I got to finish this thing and I don't want to. You know, it's like,
no, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's always another model. Just grab something else.
Yeah, and responsibilities, things that make you happy outside the hobby. Don't don't fuck yourself because just to get some fucking models painted.
Right. I've listened to other podcasts where guys like fuck that up. Well, I guess it's my assumption actually. Never mind. So, but you know what I mean? You'll hear about like you hear these things on these so many hobby podcasts, you know, where it's like the guy probably fucking disappeared forever. No wonder his wife told him fuck off.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to paint 300 Space Marines in a week, and my wife left me.
Right. It amounted to nothing.
Right. And I still lost the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. She said, those are your three colors?
Yeah. Battle ready? Really?
Yeah, you call that battle ready?
It's funny, like, the tournament play thing is, like, such an insane concept. And then I think about how I was, like, a tournament grinder.
That it's so odd to me. It's like every... thing is so inaccurate, like the you know, the measuring, the moving of the models. It's like that's not the kind of competition
fiddly
I
fingers.
Want, you know.
Yeah.
The championship of the world was tainted.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if that can happen, then what does anything matter?
And like
another BattleTech thing, you know, the defined spaces.
That's it.
There's no cheating. It's just fucking,
you know,
move fucking six squares.
Right. Yeah. Because think about it. Like even in Magic, right? Like every at the high level tournaments for everything, those guys are probably cheating.
They are.
Magic.
Alex Bertolucci or whatever.
Oh, he was the best.
He was the best guy around.
The best guy.
Dude. Local to West Springfield, baby.
Right. Used to see him on a stream, and then I heard that he even had like a chick working with him who would like come by, and she would like, you know, like just like a real con man, you know? Yeah. Or she would like, you know, distract the kid he was playing against, you know, and he would do his thing.
Drop an extra land on the table on turn three.
Yeah, what a stuff.
I always think about Greaser.
Who the fuck's Greaser?
He was this guy who was this unshowered guy who would kind of wipe his nose, side of his nose. And then mark his cards.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then he would know when he was shuffling. He would kind of put ones that had two grease marks or whatever the fuck it was on the side of the card. He would put that
the
one.
Fuck?
Yeah, dude. Look it up. It's
cut fucked
his
up. Deck.
It's fucked up.
That's awesome. Jared Snorlax Bachelor or something like that was another one. He was like this dude who came on, and it was, I think it was during like modern and like, modern tournaments were big, and so was like it was like the Theros block kind of era.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on like out of nowhere, and it turns out he was able to do like a shuffle trick, right? Because especially in modern, when you would get to manipulate the other guy's deck a lot, he would.
He
would take a peek while he was talking to the guy, and then he would like just feed the guy lands constantly off the top, you know.
Shuffle.
And it was sick.
Which I don't get how you do that if you're cutting your deck.
Yeah,
like you shuffled
a pocket, still a pocket, even if it's cut in half.
Oh, right. You put on the top one, one in the middle. You know, I mean, he was a sicko. There's some great videos on YouTube about the Magic cheaters. You know, then I saw like an X-Wing guy got caught like moving his dial like after, you know.
Really?
It's, like, on stream, these guys are cheating. They're crazy.
Dude, I'm going to start cheating on games.
That's cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
Pick up your dice real fast.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's why I do the thing now where I roll the dice and I literally just point at the dice until you fucking look at it. Got a 5. It's right fucking here. Oh, I got a 6. Right here, buddy.
Did anyone see that that video? Was that with one of you when we were watching the fucking... Oh, it was at your house, I think. We were watching the video of a guy cheating in some like fantasy battle, like third edition or something tournament somewhere in Europe.
I wasn't present.
I think it was on New Year's Eve, and you were just playing a game.
Yeah,
and I think it was like me and Levi or something were watching.
Big competitive guy, Levi.
Yeah, and it was in his dice. You could see some of them just had all sixes on them, and they were just mixed right in with the other. And like it was like just caught on the camera.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know how it happened.
I think that was his argument. He's like, oh, it must have been like a defect in the dice or something.
Well, if you want to buy Loaded Sixes dice, you can head over to the Hive Scum Big Cartel, and we'll have them for you.
Yeah, baby.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Hive Scum. If you aren't already part of the community, check us out at the In Rust We Trust Discord, which you can find down in the description below. If you have questions you'd like to ask us, you can find our Instagrams down below as well. Or feel free to ask away on the Discord. We also have plenty of extra content and other perks available to our patrons on Patreon. So if you're interested in helping us keep doing what we're doing, then you can find that description below as well. Until next time, folks, keep it grimdark and keep it grimy. Peace.